Welcome to the All Souls Forum here on KKFI. Tonight's program is talking about Kansas City's performance, improving the efficiency and the effectiveness of city service, monitoring progress toward the City Council's strategic priorities, and we're going to hear more about the five-year citywide business plan. Our guest tonight, Kate Bender, is going to tell us all about it tonight's show. This was recorded on Sunday, November the 13th, at the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church in Kansas City, Missouri. We will follow our usual format. Tonight, we will hear from Kate Bender. We'll take a short break, play you some things that we need for you to hear, and then we will resume directly with the questions and answers for tonight. And then we'll wrap things up. So without further ado, let's go to the introduction of Kate Bender. You're listening to the All Souls Forum here on KKFI.
Today, we have the good fortune to have as our presenter, Kate Bender. Her official title is as Deputy Performance Manager for the City of Kansas City, Missouri. She's been an employee of the city since 2007 and is a graduate of the Blue Valley Schools. She had a recollection with Rita here this morning, which I think we didn't quite see coming, but that's good. By way of her higher education, she has a bachelor's in political science from Brown University and a master's in urban planning from NYU. She began her career in the city as a Cookingham Knoll Fellow, which is a competitive opportunity for 2 years of full-time pay and an opportunity to work in many different departments in the city. And that's a longstanding program that's produced a lot of people who today are being very effective. In recent years, we're going to talk about KC Stat. The mayor and the city manager have worked very hard to move the city's governance more and more towards a long-range strategic planning and a performance measurement base for how do we know that we're getting done what we say we're going to do. And an integral part of that is an active citizen survey process. And so Kate is the kind of nexus of all of that work in terms of the data flows. And she assists each department in preparing their preparations and all, or their reports, and she'll be talking about that. Finally, I get around to a lot of opportunities to see people at work, and it's always a pleasure to see young people that are willing to go into government and make a difference. And certainly we're, I think, fortunate to hear from one of those folks this morning. And then finally, Kate is also a graduate of the Chamber of Commerce's Centurions program, which is another two-year leadership development, which allows her to make those relationships with her peers out in the community. So no further ado, Kate Bender.
Thank you all very much for having me here. Thanks to Bill for the invitation. I told him when I have the good fortune to speak a fair amount about our program and the city's initiatives in this area at external conferences and regionally and locally. And so when Bill asked me to give a presentation on KC Stat, I went to see what materials I'd put together. I realized I didn't have a presentation that was focused on talking about KC Stat to the citizens of Kansas City. And so that was a kind of a nice surprise for me to say, like, wow, this is a new opportunity for us. It made me really proud to put that together and that there was an interest in talking about this topic. So I'll jump right into the topic at hand. So Bill really covered a lot of the introductions here, but as he said, I grew up in the Kansas City metro area, and I had the experience of going away for school and working between school and undergrad and grad school and then returning back. So I felt like it provided me not only with a lot of good, actual academic learning, but the experience in working in different communities, working in cities and coming back. And that really honed my interest in both working in public administration and working at the local government level. I did start with the city in 2007 as a Cookingham intern, which is a program that's really started with LP Cookingham in the 50s and has continued unabated since then, and a really great program that produces some great employees for the city. I'll talk a little bit about the Office of Performance Management, but I fairly soon after I started, I became involved with that division of the city. And just personally, I'm married with two kids and live not that far from here in Waldo. So the City Manager's Office of Performance Management, or OPM, has its genesis with really Troy Schulte being appointed as interim city manager in late 2009. I was in the office as a special projects intern at the time, or special projects analyst. And when he came in, I said, hey, what would you like me to work on? And he said, I'd like you to work on performance measurement for the city. And so that was the beginning of it. We've now evolved, almost 6-7 years later. We have a total of 5 staff, our team lead, who's also is an assistant to the city manager, who's also over 311. And myself, another senior management analyst, and two analysts. So we've really been able to grow our capacity over that time, which has been really fortunate. But really, our mission has been the same continuously. We have just added both staff capacity, technology capacity, and then just programmatic efforts to support that same mission. And that's about improving the efficiency and effectiveness of city services. I think, as you'll see, KCSTAT is a core component of that mission, but it's really interrelated with other programs that we oversee. We have an internal performance management program called Department Stat. We oversee all of the city's survey instruments, both the administration as well as the analysis and the reporting of results, so the citizen survey, the employee survey, the business survey. Our group oversees the open data catalog and efforts in that regard, and then we also have efforts in the area of process improvements. So getting back to the specific subject at hand, KCSTAT. How many people in the room have some familiarity with KCSTAT? Okay, a handful of people. So good, so you're an all new audience for this topic. This is just meant as sort of a brief introduction. If you've never heard the word, have no concept of what we're talking about here. It is a framework for measuring and monitoring the city's progress toward our strategic goals. What does that mean? What does that look like? The major components that people have familiarity with, the ones that should be familiar with, if you know about KCSTAT, there's a televised monthly public meeting that's chaired by the mayor and city manager. It's usually the first Tuesday of the month. Sometimes it gets shifted around. The mayor's schedule gets a little crazy at times, but we tend to focus on the Tuesdays since that's a day that council and mayor have less legislative activity. So, and it is truly monthly. There have been maybe a couple of months in 5 years that we've had to move, cancel a meeting altogether for 1 month and find a time for it in another month. So it's very regular. As part of that, there's a slide deck that has the data supporting the KCSTAT of the month and qualitative updates. There's actually an online dashboard that you can go to independent. We use it in the presentation, but it's also available for anyone to look at any time, and that's a screenshot of it up there in the middle. And we also live tweet the meetings. So if social media is your best entree into city issues, that's a way to catch up as well. So, and I'm gonna go into all of these more, but I just wanted to give you the kind of touch points here, our logo, our dashboard, what the meetings look like. So where did this all get started? You'll notice that this timeline starts in 2007, which is sort of a factor of when I started with the city. Not to say that there weren't origins of KCSTAT that were planted earlier, but I do think there were some really important developments starting in 2007 beyond me joining the city. Many of you may be familiar that in 2007, the city launched 311, and that was really billed as and was a huge movement towards centralized customer service, but the other big part of it was having 3-in-1 meant we suddenly had a database about city service activity that we'd never had access to before. And so one of the things we did in those first few years, and I did, and other staff as well, was we had access to this treasure trove of data about city services that we could start to hone in on and identify which areas seem to be working well, which areas are an issue, you know, what are the issues behind it. That was a really important baseline, I think, for the city. As I mentioned, in 2009, our office was created with one person, and one of the first things Troy wanted to see us do was to have weekly internal meetings that used data to talk about city services. So that 311 data suddenly had not only a place within staff, but had a place within the management conversation. He'd bring in department directors, and we would analyze the data, and we'd have good conversations that resulted in some really important improvements. In 2011, Mayor James was elected, and part of his platform was that of improving city efficiency. That was something he talked about. It was, if you're familiar with his 4E's platform, that's been pretty continuous since then. One of the E's is for efficiency. And he specifically talked about having a stat program. So he did his homework. He found out kind of what was out there, and that was something he talked about. And so then once he was in office, he and the city manager have had a really close working partnership, a lot of shared goals since the beginning, and so the city manager was able to say, I actually have some staff working in this area already, and the mayor said, great, can you have them work on developing a program? And so since then, KCSAT has always been a program that is administered and facilitated by our office and the city manager's office, but we do it on behalf of the mayor. So it is, we do consider it to be his program, and we go to him for major input about the structure of the program. I alluded to the fact that the mayor had done his homework. The idea of a STAT program was actually fairly well established, or beginning to be well established in the kind of best practices in public administration community. The idea of being data-driven had been building in cities, in government, I mean, really in the private sector. They're all on the same path for, you know, a couple decades. And the really specific examples you may have heard about were a couple of STAT programs that were launched, CityStat, which is a program in Baltimore, and CompStat, which is a program of the New York Police Department, were really independent examples of this public-facing accountability structure around data that really was about transparency, it was about accountability, it was about using data to improve services. So those are the grandfathers of this, but since then, the structure has been implemented so broadly. There are probably, I couldn't even say, I would say there could be 100 STAT programs in the country, many of which are run by cities, but there are counties, there are other jurisdictions as well. And there have been some academics that have dedicated their life's work to this, to looking at these STAT programs, analyzing them, writing books about them. So they've really been able to come up with some foundational principles. And lucky for us, some of that work had been done by the time that KCSTAT was developed. So we were able to access that information and say, how should we design a STAT program that builds on these successes in the past? So some of those really important principles that, again, were identified externally, and we said, let's take these and put them into play. It's chaired by top leadership, which sounds obvious, but you know, you think about somebody with the mayor's schedule to set aside 2.5 hours a month for this every single month. That's a really big commitment on his part, and for the city manager as well. So as I said, they really do. There's a one meeting a month, 2.5 hours, and that schedule is put out a year in advance. We actually will be putting it out pretty soon now for 2017. We do it on a calendar year basis. So that regularity, not, you know, doing it for a couple months, taking a break, doing it for a little while, taking a break, but that regularity is really important. The idea of it being collaborative and cross-cutting, this is actually something I think that was discovered as STAT programs were being launched and run. Some of the earlier STAT programs that I mentioned actually were not particularly collaborative. They were a little bit more of, you get up there and you're going to be called out and asked to explain this. And I think the research has shown, and even those communities showed after a while, that that wasn't particularly effective for the long term. In fact, it bred some unhealthy activities, like wanting to falsify data or play with data or, you know, put out a fire but not really solve the underlying issue. So since day one, both the mayor and the city manager have said this is a collaborative environment. This is not a place where I'm putting departments on the spot and saying, you're going to be asked to account for this. I'm going to ask you a surprise question. It is unscripted. You know, they don't know what the mayor's going to say when he comes in, but his approach to it and the city manager's approach is, we are working together to solve the city's problems, and we're going to have a problem-solving-oriented discussion. It is obviously data-driven. We have established metrics that I'll talk about a little bit throughout the different areas. So that's a really crucial foundational point, is the data involved. And then the transparency. We're lucky to have had systems in place that we could kind of pull upon from day one. One of the things we've discovered when we talk about our STAT program in other cities, they say, it's public, wait, you have it on TV and you live stream it and people can access the video? I mean, they're sort of like, wow, that's beyond their reality. And for us, that was very much a no-brainer, but that's because we do have Channel 2 in the building. They do televise other public meetings. So the systems were all set up for that, and we wanted to take advantage of them so that anybody can access KCSTAT video from the past, watch it live, and then, as I mentioned, also access it through other systems, not just if you're not somebody who sits and loves to watch 2.5 hours of video. I feel like everybody in this room might actually appreciate it, though. So getting into the real meat of it, not just the structure, but what do we talk about here? So this has been an evolution. When we launched KCSTAT in 2011, it was actually in December 2011, so we're coming up on our 5-year anniversary, which is very exciting. The city didn't have a strategic plan at the time. So one of the first questions we had to answer when we were coming up with this program is, how are we going to decide what to talk about? Luckily, as I mentioned, we've been doing internal work around this and really relying on 311 as being a good marker for what citizens are interested about in, what they're concerned about, what are the things that affect them very regularly. So that was one of our first criteria. So you can see some of the topic areas there that we talked on were things that had continuously been issues that had come to the forefront within the media, but also through 311. So water services, code enforcement, animal control, street maintenance. In January 2013, the mayor and council officially adopted strategic priorities, which was a really big step. That was something that had been lacking. They had come up with the strategic priorities, I think, fairly soon after coming into office, but this was actually an adoption of, by, I believe, resolution of these priorities. And we were then able to take those and align them with metrics and use and report out at KCSTAT on those. So, and we sort of, there were 25 or 26 priorities, but we grouped them for ease of reporting. It was our feeling that it was good to touch on a topic, ideally twice a year at least, to get that sense of regularity, you're coming back and talking about the same things. So you can see the topic areas that came out of that were both tied back to some of those earlier topics, neighborhood livability, public infrastructure, but they actually broadened quite a bit too, because the council priorities were very broad. Public safety was added in, governance, which was very much about the city's financial condition, economic development. Fast forward one more year, and those strategic priorities were actually evolved into the citywide business plan. And since 2014, going into next year, so really the bulk of the time we've been doing KCSTAT, we have aligned it around the KCSTAT topic areas. And the ones that are listed up here are the goals for next year, for 2017. There are 7 of them in total. And we will rotate through those next year. Each of them will have 2 meetings, except for customer service and communication, where we will have 1 meeting, and finance and governance, where we will have 1 meeting. Just quickly wanted to touch again on the citywide business plan, because it is a really crucial component or tie to KCSTAT, and some of you may or may not be aware of it, but it was a really big move by the city in 2014 to go to this system. It is a 5-year plan. We do update it every year, so incrementally. We're not rewriting the whole thing, but we're taking a look at it and saying how have our goals and objectives evolved. But it's founded on a 5-year financial plan, which is part of the innovation behind it. Prior to this, we've always had a 1-year budget, and we've had 5-year capital plans, but it's really challenging to plan for operational changes with a 1-year budget, because you just don't have that much room to make change year over year, especially in the post-recession years when the margins became very, very thin. So the 5-year financial plan allows us to say on a broad scale, not a line item basis, but a general sense, how much are we allocating for these general issues? Over 5 years, we can look to shift them. We can say, over 5 years, we need to ramp up what we're putting into pensions, or we need to ramp up or ramp down, we need to cut back over time in this area. And that financial plan is adopted, as I said, the five-year financial plan, 5-year citywide business plan, they're really one thing. It was just adopted in October. And then the elements of the business plan for the current year become then the foundation for the one-year budget. And that discussion starts right afterwards, pretty much. So, you know, whatever big picture decisions have been made in the five-year financial plan about, for instance, we need to ramp up pensions this much, that's considered as the baseline starting point for the budget. And then obviously the budget gets into a lot of line item discussions, but it's been something that has allowed us to focus on where we want to be going longer term. This just shows kind of the cycle of that. And I should say, too, the business plan was adopted as part of the charter changes a couple years ago. So this citywide business plan is now required by charter according to the calendar I mentioned before. So starting with, we currently start with a review of the council goals in the summer. The departments actually weigh in on the strategic objectives. The budget office puts together both of these items along with the financial plan that's underlying them and puts into a submitted citywide plan. We've done some public engagement sessions around this. Some of you may have been involved with that. It's workshops where we bring citizens in. I think we did 4 workshops this year, and they can comment on the business plan and their thoughts. And then, as I mentioned, the plan is adopted in October. They moved to creating the budget. We then again have some public engagement around the budget, and it's adopted, and then the whole thing starts again. So having a citywide, I talk about this at length, both because I think it's a really crucial thing, and I hope people are aware of it, but also because it is a lot, as I'll talk about, it is part of the strength of KC Stat. One of the reasons that's made KC Stat stronger is that we have a strategic plan to draw upon. If you really like getting down in the weeds and really care about this sort of thing, I was torn myself about whether anybody would care about this, but what does it look like to produce KC Stat every month? As I mentioned, there's a process of refining the goals and objectives and metrics, which is really more of an annual thing. We're really doing that about once a year, but some of it, the metrics are things that there are some core metrics, but there's a lot of supporting metrics, and those may evolve as new data is available. So that's something we're taking a look at every time is, all right, we know what our goals and objectives are, we know what our core metrics are, is there any other data that's come up that we need to bring in? The departments are largely responsible for providing data on established metrics. We have really good working relationships with all of them. And they've also been doing this for a while now, too, so there's some familiarity. And then they also provide us with a lot of narrative that's really important. A lot of the objectives in the business plan, they all can be monitored using data, and we've attached metrics to them. But a lot of the objectives are qualitative. They're create this plan, you know, implement this change, analyze this process. And so we also need to be reporting out on the qualitative progress toward those objectives, not just the underlying data. So that's one of the things they're providing us with. Our office is responsible for the overall coordination and facilitation. We also do a lot of the data analysis supporting this. So and then most of the data visualization as well. How do we communicate this out? The key point is we're developing a draft, and then department staff are weighing in. We have a pre-meeting. Again, it goes back to the idea I mentioned of this being collaborative, that we're all coming together a week before KC Stat and saying, here's what we have, what are we missing, what storyline is here that we need additional information for, what do you know that we don't know that we want to make sure to incorporate. So that's been a really crucial part for us to have that pre-meeting. And then that all builds into the actual KC Stat meeting. All of this every month is a lot of work. It's probably at least 40 hours of work, between 40 and 80 hours of work. So luckily we've increased capacity, as I mentioned, so we can split that out among a lot of people. But I wouldn't want to ignore the fact that this certainly is resource intensive to some extent. I think personally that the benefit of it is really substantial and definitely worth that. But when cities look at launching a stat program, if they say, you know, can we do it without dedicated staff, I'd say probably not. You probably need at least one staff person who has at least half the responsibility to this, just because to keep this going, to keep it regular, to make sure there's attention to it. You do need that type of resource. The examples of the data used at KC Stat. This is not a complete list. As I mentioned, our group oversees the citizen survey. I would be more than happy to come anytime and talk about the citizen survey for half an hour. It's one of my favorite subjects. And in fact, we do give a series of public presentations about citizen survey results every year. But it is a really crucial data set that is integrated into virtually all of the council goals, because when we look at measuring our progress towards strategic goals, we're looking for outcome measures, not the, you know, widgets, not the immediate outputs of city government, but what are we trying to impact? And really across the board, one of the most important things we're trying to impact is citizen perception, and the citizen survey is a really outstanding measure for that. We also have been lucky enough to add on the business survey over the last several years, which is a collaborative effort with with EDC, but really is parallel in many ways to the citizen survey and gives us that other perspective. I mentioned the employee survey as well, which certainly does weigh into KC Stat, although it is a lot more focused on internal issues than externally facing. As I mentioned, 311 data continues to be really crucial, and probably we've worked to improve that data enough that it is more and more useful to us. And then just department work order data, things over the last few years that more and more departments have added new systems, and those systems come with new data and new technology. So there's always new data sources for us to pull upon. Another really important outcome measurement is infrastructure condition. So that's sort of a general term, applying to lots of different types of infrastructure, but what is the objective condition of our streets as measured? What's the condition of our bridges? That is an important part of our measurements. And then I mentioned financial metrics, so really standard metrics that underlie our financial stability, like our condition of our pension system and our general fund reserves, things like that. So all of this would be, I think this is like the so what slide, basically. Told you all about this, but what's really the point of this? What have we seen as being the actual impacts of this? I can definitely say that it increases focus and accountability toward goals. So many cities have strategic plans. I don't think many cities have strategic plans where they have regular public touch points looking at those goals and objectives and publicly saying, how are we doing toward these? That adds a different layer. And I'll actually say, I'll tell you, between you and me, that the departments first came up with the objectives under the goals, so these are the tactical efforts, how are you going to reach these goals? They had a really great brainstorming session. They came up with these objectives. You know, it was a one-day workshop. We went, they got integrated into the plan. That was in the summer. The next, I think that was summer of 2014. And then January 2015, we start the new KC Stat meetings on that new business plan. And we come to the first one and we say, okay, here's the objectives that were, you know, adopted. And there were not a few department staff that were like, what objectives? Wait, those objectives we talked about last summer? We're going to be reporting on. Okay. And so that summer, when we got around to revising the objectives again, there was a lot of feedback. I think everyone now is very aware of the fact that we are establishing plans and that we are adhering to, and we are going to need to report out on. So, and then we've gotten public feedback on. It also has that touch point, that constant touch point, has just honed awareness of the plan throughout the city. You know, I think it's really done something to orient us. The strategic plan for many employees is up here, and their work is down here. And I think there are efforts to make that connection, but everybody is very busy doing their work down here. I think having KC Stat really constantly creates this back and forth conversation about how what you're doing is impacting these goals, and allows the department management, but then the mid managers and who are communicating down with the field to make that orientation. So I just had a department manager the other day talk to me about or mid-level manager rather, talked to me about going out to talk to their field employees and how he went to them and at one of their field meetings said, oh, I want to share with you some information that was presented at KC Stat this month about your operations, and here's the goal and objective that they relate to. And he said it was really, they said a lot of them didn't feel like they ever got that connection to how their work may be important to them and they may see the value of it, but that connection to, hey, the elected officials in the city care about this, and more importantly, the citizens care about this. So I think drawing those ties between the daily work and the strategic goals is really crucial. As I mentioned, it definitely does encourage collaboration and problem solving. The city, like many organizations, is relatively siloed. We have so many different functions that have to operate on their own to be effective that sometimes it's hard to build those systems for cross-cutting communication. KC Stat is a system for that. When they come to speak to these goals, when they talk about public safety, you have around the table police, fire, animal control, emergency management, municipal court. It's not to say these people don't talk to each other, don't interact all the time, don't have a lot of important connections, but I think this is a forum where they're seeing their work as tied to the same strategic goal, and they're seeing how where the gaps are in meeting that strategic goal. We've had more than one conversation at a KC Stat where somebody said, you're doing that? We should talk about that. We're doing something like that. Or nobody seems to be doing something like that? We should talk about that. And finally, it creates data storytelling opportunities. So what does that mean? I'm really passionate about how data can improve the stories that we tell as a community, as a nation, as a city, and because it adds really important support to those stories. It adds legitimacy. So KC Stat, we are constantly churning out data that not only conveys the narrative that, you know, about where we are going toward our goals, or what we consider to be the narrative, we're headed up, we're headed down, we're kind of somewhere in the middle, but it's also a resource that people can pick up on and use for their own means. And so there's been some really great examples of that. I've seen citizens, I was at a budget hearing a few years ago, and a citizen got up and started reading from a sheet of paper that had all these statistics about potential impacts on code enforcement, and my ears kind of perked up, and I thought, where is she getting this from? I've never heard someone talk about so much data, and then I realized she was reading off a KC Stat presentation, which was like a really great moment for me. there's a conversation some of you may be aware of about sidewalk policy in the city. That's been the work of some really great organizations like The Whole Person and Bike Walk KC and the Midtown Post. And they've really, I think, taken advantage of some of the data that's out there from the citizen survey and used that as a foundational point and used it to illustrate the issues. And as a side point, too, over time, the media has gradually come to see KC Stat as a resource for them as well. So until the last couple years, I didn't see a lot of media, didn't get a lot of questions about KC Stat. Over the last year, there's a couple of reporters or news stations in the room every time. And if they're not in the room, they're maybe live streaming it. They're following the live tweets. They're following up. We had our public safety KC Stat November, yes, a couple weeks ago, and there were at least three news stories coming off of the KC Stat about different data points that came out. So I think that's a real success, not because it gives us attention, but because it, again, orients everyone, this in this case, citizens as well, back toward the strategic plan, toward these strategic goals. You know, there's a lot of city to cover, and so I feel like we're giving a little bit of a roadmap, an opportunity for media to say, here's the city's strategic goals. How are they doing with it? This is my last slide, which is, what's the future of this? I already talked about it being resource intensive, being tied to the mayor. I certainly think it could be a criticism or comment about, like, is this just sort of a flash in the pan? Where is this going? Does this have any long-term meaning for the city? I do think that, as I mentioned, the tie to the citywide business plan is a really important, crucial point. So, as I mentioned, that's the citywide business plan is required by charter. KC Stat is not, but I think it's a little hard to say we're going to keep the citywide business plan. We're going to get rid of that monitoring framework, though. We don't think that's important. I feel good about the idea that in some form we will continue to monitor the citywide business plan. The 5 years of operations has made it very routine. It's made it something that, as I mentioned, that department staff and management come to expect. They know how to manage. They work well with. And then the most important things about it to me are that it's part of a bigger whole. As I mentioned, we do a lot of different efforts in the area of performance management and data-driven management. And KCSTAT is a really crucial program, and I hope it continues. But I don't have any qualms about if KCSTAT disappeared tomorrow, that everything would come crashing down. I think we have so many efforts toward data-driven management and so many opportunities. And honestly, I want to be, as part of someone who leads the office, I want to be open to the idea of is KCSTAT always going to be the right framework? Or is it going to evolve in such a way that it doesn't resemble itself 10 years from now, but it's still meeting the same principles and it's still getting the same outcomes? So to me, it doesn't matter to me really whether KCSTAT continues in its current form, but that the principles of data-driven management and transparency exist. And I feel really confident about that based on all of these things. So to leave you with a few concrete things that you can pick up on if you're interested, we do have a page on the city's website that has access to has all of this information, but it has a link to the dashboard on it, but that's the direct link to the dashboard. As I mentioned, if you search Twitter for hashtag KCSTAT, you'll access the last probably tweet along, just chock full of information. And then that's my contact information. I'm more than happy to speak to anybody if you ever have questions or comments. And thanks again for your time.
You're listening to Kate Bender talking about the business plan, the strategic priorities elaborated in that plan for Kansas City in the coming year. You're listening to the All Souls Forum. We're going to take a break. We will come back and we will go directly to the questions for Ms. Bender.
Can you talk about the surveys a little bit, the citizen and the business surveys? I wonder, who writes the questions? Where do you get the questions? And how do you administer? Do you call people? Is it you send out a flyer in the mail? So can you talk about the surveys a little bit?
Absolutely. The citizen survey, really all of our surveys actually, are administered by a third party. They're called ETC Institute, which I mention only because there's a possibility you've heard of them. They're actually based in Olathe. And sometimes we get people saying, why are you using a contractor in Olathe? And I want to try to convey to people, they're one of the top two contractors for citizen surveys in the country. They just happened to be in Olathe, so which is actually really fortunate for us. We were one of the earliest customers. We've been doing a citizen survey since the sort of dawn of modern citizen surveys in about 2000. Our office took over the citizen survey from the city auditor's office in 2011 or 12. It mostly because we had the opportunity to align it with performance management activities. They did an excellent job managing the survey and the administration, and in fact, really focused on the methodology and really honed in on it, but they didn't have a channel to apply performance management. That's not their role. So your question about the questions, there are a lot of general questions that are very similar across cities, and where we have similar service areas, we ask a lot of those same questions: maintenance of city streets, maintenance of condition of sidewalks, things like that. But when we took over the survey, we did a pretty major rewrite in 2012 where we said it's really crucial that this survey reflect our city services and what we do and how we're organized, because that's how we make the data relevant to both citizens but also our staff. Because if staff look at a question and say, I don't know what that means, then they can't do anything with it. So, and at the time, we also added a lot of sections that had not existed. We added entire sections for the airport, for the health department, for 311, for communications, and for solid waste, for trash. The methodology, the thing that is great about the citizen survey, I think the methodology is incredibly sound. We have a very, very big sample size. It's a random sample survey. So if you're familiar with all the statistics, the idea behind a random sample survey is that with a large enough sample and a big enough response rate, you can generalize those results to the general population with a very small margin of error. You can be very confident that's how the general population feels. Our sample size is 9,000 households once a year. We split it up into quarters, so we about a quarter of those every 3 months. We have about a 45% response rate on that, and it is administered, the trigger is by mail, but then there is a phone follow-up that increases the response rate. And there is also, if people get it via mail and say, I don't want to fill this all out on paper, they have the ability to go online and fill it out there as well. So it's sort of equal parts mail and phone. But again, and then the resulting, it is balanced across the city's council districts, so we make sure we have an equal number of responses per council district to make sure we have geographic consistency. And then they, on the back end, our contractor compares it with our census demographics for race and age and gender, and makes sure that we're within the bounds so that we can say that we're confidently representing our demographics as well.
I know you didn't list all of the apartments that you're allied with, but I didn't see any reference even to the school situation, which is a city situation, not only in children's education, but in buildings and the sidewalks that are around the buildings, the area of the schools. So how are we allied with the Kansas City School District?
Yeah, that's a great question. The question about sidewalks, that is certainly looking at the infrastructure around schools is certainly something that we integrate into our public infrastructure discussion. The schools themselves, the school system themselves has no tie to city government. There's no governance connection there. And so the condition of the schools or the kind of metrics around school quality are not in any way represented in the goals and objectives of the citywide business plan, which is, again, I mentioned, led by the mayor and council. The mayor himself does have a goal around education, in part of his four E's. That's one of his E's. We did have a special Casey stat last year that was focused specifically on the mayor's four E's, where we did show some data, where we did talk about some data related to education in that format. But you're right that the specific topic of school quality doesn't show up in any of the cases, the regular Casey stats, because it doesn't show up in the citywide business plan. The citywide business plan is continuously evolving, and we have a fairly new council now. They'll be going into their second half of their term soon, but they're getting used to all this. I've certainly heard them talk about the topic, and so it wouldn't shock me to see those issues enter into the citywide business plan at some point. I will say, in regard to the citizen survey, a few years ago, our office had the recognition that whether or not this is an area that's managed by the city, and then that's not definitely beyond any of our control, above my pay grade, but above most people's pay grade, this is something that's of concern to citizens, and that's one of the things we're trying to capture in the citizen survey. So we did add several questions related to K-12 education in the survey, and we really did it for two purposes. One is so that we could provide that data to the mayor and his staff who work on education, because it's something they were really interested in, but also because we wanted to be able to provide that to all of our school districts as a resource, and we have had some of those conversations and been able to convey some of that data. So where we don't have a direct management tie, I still hope that we can facilitate some of those data-driven storytelling opportunities.
Hi, Kate. I really appreciate what you have been telling us. My name is Fred Newman. I'm with I'm the resident nerd on the health department's planning and health equity committee, and actually I co-chair their report on health inequities, mm-hmm. so to speak, that led up to what we call the CHIP. And I was delighted and actually befuddled when at our last meeting, Bill and several others were talking about KC Stat. And I'm saying to myself, you know, I've been the resident nerd on this committee now for 5 years. What's KC Stat? And they said, oh, we're going to be well integrated with KC Stat. And I was also on the White House Commission on Evidence-Based Practice in Psychology. So I'm all for this, and I'm saying, what's happening? So you probably know more than I do as to how that's the health department's health improvement plan, which is a 5-year plan supposedly empirically based, will be integrated with what you're doing. So could you comment on that?
Yes, absolutely.
Or enlighten me, please.
And thank you for your work on that. Appreciate it, because it is a really crucial element. So quickly, two important ties there. One is that, and this is sort of, there's a very direct link between the citywide business plan, which is what KC Stat's based on, and the CHIP, which is that one of the objectives in the citywide business plan under neighborhoods and healthy communities is to implement the CHIP. Which means that, you know, it shows you how big the citywide business plan really is, that one small objective in one goal is to implement an entire other massive plan. And actually, there are several other places where that's the case. Citywide business plan also references implementing Advanced KC, the city's economic development strategic plan. It also references implementing the climate protection plan. There may be others as well. So the citywide business plan in that case does try to make a direct link to other larger planning efforts to acknowledge that these aren't independent objectives that don't tie to our other strategic work. So the answer for that is we do talk, and we have talked actually at the Neighborhood and Healthy Communities KC Stat meetings about progress on the CHIP. Up to fairly recently, I would say we spent a lot of time talking about the process of the CHIP and the components and the structure, because it was very much a process that was underway. But the other piece is that some of the really key principles in the CHIP, you mentioned health inequities, have actually found their way into the citywide business plan, thanks largely to the advocacy of Dr. Archer. And one of the primary ones being to reduce the inequity in life expectancy across geographies. And so that is its own objective in the citywide business plan, that health, largely the health department is taking the lead on reporting out, but the health department itself is actually in the process of doing an internal summit among all the departments to talk about how all departments can work to impact life expectancy inequities. So the answer is, I think there's a very direct tie, but there's also an acknowledgement that the CHIP and those efforts are very large and really almost could have their own reporting out structure. But KC Stat is an opportunity to speak to those larger strategic efforts and try to summarize and be a liaison with citizens on them.
Thank you very much. It's been a very enlightening presentation. I do have one question relative to strategic objectives and thinking. I see much of what you're doing analyzes how effectively are operations carrying out strategic objectives, but do you also do analysis of the efficacy of the strategic objectives themselves or contribute to the development of more effective strategies?
That's a good question. That's a big question. So the way I interpret your question is to say we are measuring, I think, our progress in these objectives, but are we measuring whether these objectives are moving the needle on the goal? And therefore, are they the right objectives? And I would say I think we have an eye toward that, but I also think that the citywide business plan is so new that there hasn't been a lot of opportunity to move the needle yet. And so I do think that that's a direction we need to go in as we formalize the citywide business, continue to formalize and structure the citywide business plan. Is to date, so we've only had three or four, so as I mentioned, the first iteration of the citywide business plan had no objectives, just goals. So just these high, big picture goals. The first iteration had objectives. I mentioned there were some issues with them. It was a first attempt. The first time we came back to them, we said, whoa, some of these were not well framed, not well stated. I mean, some of them were just too vague as to really understand what they meant, because somebody had sitting around a table had come up with it, got transcribed 10 times, and then it got in the plan. And 6 months later, people said, I don't remember what we meant by this. So some of that work had to go in. So I would say that honing has really been a process of the last couple of years to really get to what do we mean and what are we really focused on. And I would say the next step in that is to be able to like really say, if we get to a point where we can say, wow, we've just been checking off objectives, you know what, though, that high-level metric hasn't changed at all, or it hasn't gone in the wrong direction, then I think you really start. I would like to get to a point where we are not just reviewing objectives each year for can we do them, and have we made enough progress on them, but should we be doing them? Are these the things? So that's a framework I'd really like to see us put in place.
Maybe one last question. Talk a little bit, and we just got a couple minutes, about technology and there's a never-ending increase in the number of tools available to someone in your position. How do you think about tooling and all that?
Yeah, so technology, just since we started this office, there have been a lot of changes in technology, really. I guess the most basic answer is, how do I think about technology? I think about it as a tool. And it's something that can serve the efforts that you're doing. And that my general approach, I think our office's general approach, has been that we seek out technology to meet needs that we know that we have within the systems we have, rather than following technology and basing our systems around it. And, you know, frankly, that's partially because of resource constraints. So we don't have the opportunity at the drop of a hat to say, we want that, let's go get it. We have to do a lot of working with what we have. And that means, like, we talk to, and a lot of other cities are in the same position, people say, what systems do you use? And we say, Excel. We use a lot of Excel. And Excel can do a lot. I think we're really open to it and want to see new opportunities. And there's been some great, I don't really get into it, but one of the things that's happened over the last few years has been a huge network building across cities that are doing this type of work. A lot of really facilitated by the Bloomberg Philanthropies that launched a program that was about building networks across cities. And so now we have the opportunity to liaise with those cities and say, what technology are you using that are really meeting your needs? Because cities' needs are not going to be the same as the private sector or even nonprofit sector. So we can say, like, these are technologies or systems that are being well validated elsewhere, and we can feel confident about implementing them ourselves. Thank you.
You've been listening to Kate Bender talk about the Kansas City City performance and the strategic priorities in the 5-year business plan. This program was recorded on Sunday, November the 13th of 2016 at the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church, 4501 Walnut Street in Kansas City, Missouri. This program is produced and edited for broadcast each week by Barry Lee. Thank you to Rita Norton and her staff at All Souls for their help in producing this program every week. The music you hear at the beginning and ending of the show is composed and performed by Kansas City musician Fred Potter. Remember that you can find this show and other shows on the KKFI podcast page, which is at kkfi.org on our website. If you get to that page, you can access not only the All Souls forums that are harbored there, but also a great many other public affairs programs that we present every single day on KKFI just for you. We'll see you again next week, same time, same place. And this has been the All Souls Forum here on KKFI.